So this is one of last days of her life on earth. She's very young. Do you know how old she was when she died?
37?
33? Huh? Yeah, when she died? Huh? 33? I thought she was 37, no? No? How so young?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh. We do. Anyway, wow. Now this last time. Okay, we continue from last time. Oh, inconceivable goodness of God, which shelters at every step. May your mercy be praised without cease. That's her words. That you become a brother to human, not to angels, is a miracle of the unfathomable mystery of your mercy. So God is so good to, of course, the angels, they serve God, no? But to human being, they're not always obedient. And that's a miracle. All our trust in you, our firstborn brother Jesus, true God and true man. My heart flutters with joy to see how good God is to us, wretched and ungrateful people. And as a proof of his love, he gives us the incomprehensible gift of himself in the person of his Son. Throughout all eternity, we shall never exhaust that mystery of love. O mankind, how do you think so little about God being truly among us? O Lamb of God, I do not know what to admire in you first. Your gentleness, your hidden life, the emptiness of yourself for the sake of men, for the constant miracle of your mercy, which transforms souls and raises them up to eternal life. Although you are hidden in this way, your omnipotence is more manifest here than in the creation of men. Though the omnipotence of your mercy is at work in the justification of a sinner, yet your action is gentle and hidden. So God is also just. We have to do good also, not just to take advantage of his goodness and thinking, oh, we can do anything and he will forgive us. Yeah, sure, he forgive us. One day you forgot and you died. A vision of Mother Mary. Now this her mission. In the midst of a great experience, I saw the Mother of God clothed in a white gown, girt about with a golden cincture, and there were tiny stars, also of gold, over the whole garment, and chevron-shaped sleeves lined with gold. Her cloth was sky blue, light throned over the shoulders. A transparent veil was delicately drawn over her head, while her flowing hair was set off beautifully by a golden crown which terminated in little crosses. On her left arm, she held the child Jesus. A blessed mother of this type I had not yet seen the first time. You see, a heavenly mother appeared to her with little Jesus on the left hand. She then looked at me kindly and said, I am Mother of God of priests. At that, she lowered Jesus from her arm to the ground, raised her right hand, heavenly word, and said, O God, bless Poland, bless priests. Then she addressed me once again, tell the priests what you have seen. I resolved that at the first opportunity I would have of seeing Father Andres, I would tell. But I myself can make nothing of this vision. O my Jesus, you see how very grateful I am to Father Sobolko, who has once you worked so much. That soul, so humble, had to endure all the storms. He has not allowed himself to become discouraged by adversities, but has faithfully responded to the call of God. So this Father Sopoko is our a blessed, I think. He's a blessed also. He's the spiritual director of, I think in October, something this year. So he got the mission. It's many people against him. One of the sisters was appointed to look after the sick, but she was so negligent that one had to practice real mortification. One day, I made up my mind to tell the superior about it. But then, I heard a voice in my soul, bear it patiently. Someone else would tell her. But the service was like that for a whole month. When I was finally able to come down to the refectory and to recreation, I heard these words in my soul. Now, other sisters are going to tell about their sister's negligent service, but you are to keep silent and not to speak about the matter. Sometimes we like to complain many things about the church. Came of shit. Someone will do it. I'm kidding. And at that point, there broke out sharp criticism of the sister, but she could find nothing in her own defense, and all the sisters said in chorus, "Sister, you had better improve in your care of the sick." I have found that sometimes the Lord does not want us to say something on our own. He has His ways and knows when to speak out. So don't do things in a hurry. Some people do it, you know, don't just go ahead first. Today I heard the words, "In the old covenants I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people. Today I'm sending you with a mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aging mankind, but I decide to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. I use punishments made themselves for me to do so." Just when we push God to do punishment, God will not never take the initiative. "My hand is reluctant to take hold of the sword of justice." Jesus is reluctant, and as we push him to do so. "Before the day of justice, I'm signing the day of mercy." I replied, "O my Jesus, speak to souls of yourself, because my words are insignificant." So she find that even she said these things, nobody listened to her. She is a little sister of the kitchen. She is not a doctor. She has no degree. Nobody listened. So she said, "Jesus, you say this to people, don't tell me too much." The soul's expectation of the coming of the Lord. "I do not know, O Lord, what hour you will come. And so I keep constant watch and listen as your chosen bride, knowing that you lie to come unexpected. Yet a pure heart will sense you from afar, O Lord. I wait for you, Lord, in calm and silence, with great longing in my heart and with invincible desire. I feel that my love for you is changing into fire, and that you will rise up to heaven like a flame at life's end, and then all my wishes will be fulfilled. Come then, at last, my most sweet Lord, and take my thirsting heart there to your home in the lofty regions of heaven, where your eternal life perdures. Life on this earth is but an agony, and my heart feels it is created for the heights, and it is no length of this life hold no interest. For my homeland is in heaven. This I firmly believe. This end of Lookbook number 5. Now Lookbook number 6. Can you write the first page? Praise, O my soul, the incomprehensible mercy of God will all be for His glory. This is 1938. In what year she died? Huh? You know in what year she died? And you know she died in 33, age 33. In Jung Lai, what year? Hmm? Sorry? No, this year. This year. She died in 1938, October 5th, 1938. This is 1938, February. So 6 months before she died. In what year she was born, you know? 1905. She born 1905 and died 1938. So she's 33. She died 25th August. August 25th. And October 5th, 1938. She died. My heart is drawn there where my God is hidden, where He dwells with us day and night, clothed in the white host. He governs the whole world. He communes with souls. My heart is drawn there where my God is hidden, where His love is immolated. But my heart senses that the giving water is here. It is my living God, though a veil hides Him. February 10, 38. During meditation, the Lord gave me knowledge of the joy of heaven and of saints on the arrival there, and they love God, as the sole sub-object of their love. But they also have a tender and heartfelt love for us. So the saints not only love God, also love us too. Their hearts great. It is from the face of God that this joy flows out upon all. So they love all because God loves them immensely. So they share the love of the divine love. So they share their love with all the human beings, all the saints on earth or in heaven. They love all because God loves them in the face. You know, spread all this love. Because we see Him face to face. His face is so sweet that a soul falls anew into ecstasy. So the only thing is to love God, you know, in a heavenly kingdom. Only thing, love, only love. And on earth, we divide so many, so we give so little space for God, you know. Our origins come from God. We are born in love, and we don't love. The Lord Himself moves me to write prayers and hymns about His mercy. And these hymns of praise force themselves upon my lips. I have noticed that ready formulated words of praise of God's mercy enter my mind. And so I have resolved to write them down in so far as within my power. I can feel God urging me to do so. You know, even poems, God put it in her heart. So she is not just composing, she is just transcribing the words of heaven on earth. One of the sisters came into my cell for a little while. After a short conversation on the subject of obedience, she said to me, "Oh, now I understand how the saints acted. Thank you, sisters. A great light has entered my soul. I've profited much." "Oh, my Jesus, this is your work. It is you who have spoken thus to that soul." Because this sister came in when I was completely immersed in God, it was just at that moment when this deep recollection left me. "Oh, my Jesus, I know that in order to be useful to souls, one has to strive for the closest possible union with you, who are eternal love. So you want to be disciple of the Lord. At least you be one with the Lord first. Otherwise, how can you not to proclaim, not to witness Jesus? You don't have Jesus in your heart. You know, that's how Faustina. She had that sister. She said her words, not her words, but heard from the Lord. But why? But because by that time she was immersed into prayer, into oneness with the Lord, so that whatever she says is from the Lord. So if our heart does not belong to the Lord, then whatever we say, such human words. Is it true? So we have to immerse, although we live on earth, we have to like little Faustina on earth. She, the only, you might say, "Oh, she's a sister. She has to." Not necessary, no? Even a sister, not necessary, always live in heaven. Right? Even we might say, Sister Faustina, she lives in a convent, so she can live more absolutely for the Lord. But I say, not necessary. Even in the convent, you can live, your soul can outside the convent. Even you live in the world, your soul can live in the soul in a convent. Is it true?
It's true.
That's what I'm saying. You got it. I just, because you're a sister, to just exemplify the thing. She's good, she's good. I'm not complaining. She lived like in heaven, in her convent. So, because many times you say, "Oh, you sister Faustina, you live in your reserve area. Sure, you can live." Not necessary. You know, all her sisters, you know, the surrounding sisters, one sisters, the whole month, not doing a job, negligent, you see, not necessary. Another sister doesn't want to bring breakfast to her. Why don't you go, you know? The other sister live in a common. Not necessary living in common, then you live in the will of God. You can live 100% in the will of God. You can go straight to heaven. A sister might not, or a priest might not. We're supposed to, but we don't. You're not supposed to, you do. That's more important, isn't it? One word from a soul united to God effects more good in souls than eloquent discussions and sermons from an imperfect soul. You see, this is the word. So be perfect in His love and live in joy. Don't cry. Don't complain first. Jesus might tell you, "Don't, somebody will do it." You keep quiet. You see, what happened? Just exactly, no? She just want to tell the superior, "That sister for whole month, eh? It's too much." Still the second word, don't do it. Keep silence. And then the whole sisters was against that sister. You know, no, she can hide herself. Then she said, "God has His way to punish, not to," and exactly, kind of punish the soul. So this is not our job. Our job is to pray for them. Okay, we now say the chapter of divine mercy.